As I'm sure we all heard this morning, and we also know because we are accustomed with the things of God, today Western Christendom celebrates the triumphal entry of Jesus in Jerusalem. This day also marks the beginning of Passion Week. And Passion Week is the time when we remember the suffering of Christ for our sins, His atoning death, and His glorious resurrection. Over the span of several days, a few important events took place in the life of Jesus. You see, a great deal of His ministry took place in Galilee and in some other areas surrounding Galilee. However, during the last day of His life, He spent a lot of time in and around Jerusalem. During this week, Jesus went into the temple to cleanse it. There were people there engaged in activities that weren't according to the will of God. So Jesus, as the Son of God, took time to cleanse the temple. This wasn't appreciated by the religious leaders of the time. Also during this week, he confronted the Pharisees and the other Jewish religious leaders. There were several debates between Jesus and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. During those debates, Jesus clearly exposed their sin and their refusal to accept Him as the Messiah. He also declared Himself in terms that they understood, because they understood Jewish theology. He declared Himself to be the Son of God. As a result of all these confrontations, they decided that the only way to deal with him was to have Him put to death. Later during the same week, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He was later arrested, tried, and finally condemned and crucified. On the following Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. See, a good part of the Gospels cover the events of this week. You may have not noticed this, but about a third of the four Gospels are dedicated to this one week in the life of Jesus. For example, Matthew 21 through 27 covers the events of this week. Mark 11 through 16, Luke 19 through 24, John 12 through 20. They all talk about the last few days in the life of Jesus. And this fact highlights the importance of those days and what happened during those days. Let's consider for a moment what happened on Palm Sunday. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and a large crowd gathers, welcoming Him as their Messiah. He purposely came riding on a donkey to show His meekness. But there's another thing that you should know. There is an ancient custom that you should be aware of. When kings would come from war, or would enter a city conquering it, they would ride a horse. But if they would come in peace, they would ride on a donkey. And this was the case with Jesus. Jesus rode on a donkey to show that He was coming in peace, and He was offering the Jews, the Jewish nation, peace. And I believe that this was a very real offer of the kingdom of God. And had the Jews of Jesus' time received it, they would have avoided the tragedies they have endured over the centuries. Matthew tells us that they brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them and for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of Him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" What was happening? What was going on? Who understood what was taking place? Let's take a look at some of those who were present there that day. First of all, we have the crowds and the disciples. They were partially right, but mostly wrong. They were partially right because they realized that Jesus was the Messiah, and that was an important thing. They were also partially right because they praised him and received him as their king, as they well should have. However, they were terribly wrong because they wanted the Messiah on their own terms. The crowds were shouting, "Hosanna," which means save now, save now. What sort of salvation did they want? Did they want to be saved from their sins or from the Roman occupation? It was from the Roman occupation. They didn't need to be saved from their sins. They had the temple. They had the laws. They had the covenants. They didn't need any kind of salvation of that sort. They needed a military and a political salvation as far as they were concerned. They had misunderstood the mission of the Messiah, and they could not conceive of a dying and seemingly defeated Messiah. And here's an important lesson to take home with us. You cannot have Jesus on your own terms. You cannot have God on your own terms. Either you come to him the way he tells you you come to him, or you can't come to him at all. A lot of people today come to Jesus or try to come to Jesus on their own terms. They want Jesus to take care of all their problems. They want Jesus to fix their finances, their relationships. Maybe they want Jesus to heal them. There's nothing wrong with this, but the problem is they don't want to deal with the first issue, and that's the problem of sin. And until and unless you deal with the problem of sin, Jesus will not accept you. He will not take you. You cannot come to him on your own terms. But there was another group of people there, not just the disciples and the crowds. The Pharisees were there. Jesus was an inconvenience for them. He was a stumbling block. Jesus was a problem that had to be eliminated. They wanted the praises to stop. They wanted Jesus to rebuke his disciples and tell them to quit bringing those praises to him. To them, Jesus was a threat because they did not understand him and because they didn't want to believe that he was the Messiah. And this in spite of the evidence that he gave them. Such people, by the way, still exist today. They don't want to hear anything about Jesus. And if it was up to them, nobody else would be allowed to talk about Jesus, to praise Jesus, or to follow Jesus. But among all those people, there was somebody who knew what was truly happening, what was truly going on. And that was Jesus. He was the only one who knew what was truly taking place. In obedience to the Father's will, he came to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what he was doing. Matthew tells us that Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and on the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Jesus went to Jerusalem to fulfill God's plan of salvation. He truly knew, and him alone truly knew what was taking place. By the way, this was the last opportunity for the Jews to recognize Jesus as the Messiah and avoid disaster. Luke tells us that as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." God had come to visit the Jews in the person of Jesus Christ, and they did not receive him. They did not recognize him, even though they had all the reasons to see him, to recognize him, to accept him. They did not. This prophecy was dramatically fulfilled 40 years later. Judea had been under Roman occupation since 63 BC. The Roman occupation, of course, was brutal. This led the Jews to revolt in the year AD 66. What followed was the siege of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in AD 70. According to Jewish historian Josephus, over 1 million Jews were killed during that short period of time. This is just what happened to them just during the first century. Think about the horrible things that they endured over the history in the centuries that came after the first century. What an opportunity they missed to receive peace and to avoid this terrible outcome. And here's a challenge this day for us. And for it's related to this day and for the upcoming Passion Week. Let's consider our relationship to the King. Are we partly right and partly wrong, like the crowds on Palm Sunday? Do we want Jesus on our own terms, or are we willing to have him on his terms? I hope that's where we stand. Are we like the Pharisees for whom Jesus was an inconvenience? Maybe not quite in the same way, not to the same extent, but maybe Jesus is, and his demands and his expectations are a problem for us. That's not where we should be. If we are there, we need to leave that place. And I hope that we are just like Jesus himself, who understood what was happening and obeyed God. That's the way we should be. I want to tell you that this week presents us with an opportunity to meditate on the suffering of Christ and his great love he demonstrated toward us. Take some time this week to follow the events that took place during this week. Look up a timeline of events, and follow along throughout the week, after Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. And I believe that if you do this, or something like this, this will help you focus on Jesus and his suffering in our place. And if you do so, I believe that you will be greatly blessed. Amen.
Amen.